We'll get started this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. May this be a profitable morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 84 and read another psalm together. For all of you that are new or newer or haven't gotten yourself ossified, an ossification sets into all of us at times. You know what ossification is? You do the same thing in the same way, which in some ways is very good, and then there's downsides to it. There's only 150 psalms. Now, I'm not a math person like Mrs. Hall, but I'm pretty sure that I know if you could read the psalms, if you just read one a day, it would take you approximately, wow, how about this? More or less, missing a day here, there, or yon, you could do it in a half a year, correct? Which means you could probably do the Psalms twice a year without overextending yourself, doing anything bizarre. You know, none of this is, as I've said before, I used to do things, I'm sure it was the churches I grew up in and the people I was around. I did a lot of things to, I don't know who it was for, but it wasn't for learning and growth and walking with God. There was a time I was reading this one psalm, five psalms a day, one proverb a day, Old Testament through four times, New Testament through eight times. And you know what I think about that today? That is a total waste of time. But I did it for what reason? Maybe you haven't been around this, to impress people. Now, the problem is, it isn't helping you. But somewhere between that and nothing is really good ground. So, you know, without overextending ourselves, you can do a proverb. You know, there's 31 of them, so more or less, even if you miss one today, just go on to the next one tomorrow. You'll pick it up next month. It's not a problem. You know, don't do the guilt thing. Just do this because, and I would recommend, the biggest thing I would recommend is don't try to say, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. to read the Bible. Unless you're my wife. She likes to get up at 4 a.m. and do things. Me? No. I would recommend you find some place, and these are the two key words, in some space that you already occupy. Some place or space that you already, otherwise, at 9 a.m., I go drink a cup of coffee. Read a proverb. At lunchtime, I eat lunch. Read a psalm. Put it in a space you already occupy. Don't try to, I'm going to read the Bible, you know, you won't do that, and it's not productive. Do it for you. But here's just a nice thing, you know, read a proverb, more or less, one a day. If you miss a time, and 150 means it's only 300 days. You have 65 days to miss. Or, I'm serious, or, of course, Psalm 119 might take you more than 5 minutes to read. All right, Psalm 84. This is a psalm I grew up on. My home pastor, country pastor, used to quote much of this, and I've always liked it. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Now, we can take this and think, oh, this is just a temple, but I think you realize the psalmist is saying more than just the temple. It's the temple, but it's God's presence we're looking for. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house, they shall still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca. I think, what is Baca? Doesn't that mean like weeping or something? I think. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Otherwise, that relationship with God, even through the tough times of weeping, you still are refreshed. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day, this is what my pastor used to quote all the time. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing, and that's a very important verse, don't you think? Will he withhold from them that walk uprightly? So if you, God doesn't give you what you want, what should your assumption be? It's not good, or it's not good now. How about that? Sometimes things we want are good, but not good when you're a certain age or stage. Is there not a lot in this text? Do you understand, folks, the more you know the Scripture, then you're not all, I find this, we all have our struggles. Knowing the Psalms can lift the spirit a great deal. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Well, let's look back through, if you have notes. Psalm, the very first point I made was the Psalms are poetry. That's not a real heavy-duty thing. The Psalms are biblical or Hebrew poetry from the ancient Near East. That's pretty obvious, too. Meaning, you cannot look at them as Psalms, I mean, like we do poetry. It's a different form. They're image-rich or image-saturated. I want to just say a couple of things about images. Folks, images, we're going to say it later, but images take time. Do people use language for different purposes? All right, Louis Heras. So if I say you are, what is the phrase? It is balat subuyas, correct? That means you have skin of an onion, onion skin, which means you're a little too sensitive. That's Louis' problem. Come on, everybody knows that. He is very onion skin right here. Yes or no? Now, if I use the opposite phrase, what is it? Balat kalabaw, you have the skin of a carabao. But even in the Philippines, they use that, I'm thick skinned, but it could also mean I don't have feelings. Callous. Do you understand you're going to have that problem when you read the Psalms? Do you understand that? And which means you're going to find out you're going to miss the meaning of Proverbs and Psalms sometimes. When I say you, I don't mean you, I mean us. Because sometimes language is very subtle. So, Anz, was it a niece or a cousin or something was here at the meal? Who was it? Who was sitting by on? Was it a cousin or something, little niece? Whoever it was. Oh, my goodness. I walked up to her. I smiled because I met her last year. I said something to her, and she just said right to me as flat as a pancake. I mean, her face had no emotion. She says, I don't understand American humor. Neither one of those mean what they initially sound like. Not even close. Actually, you can have a garage sale in the yard. And you don't have to have a garage. Now, why do I say that? Do you not understand that everybody's language works that way? Yes or no? So when you read the Bible, you can get very comfortable thinking, I got it all figured out. And you can be 100 miles wrong. Because if, like I said, Jenny and I saw it the first time, well, here we are. Was it Scotland or England, Jenny? Scotland. And there was a boot sale, and you're like, well, I wasn't thinking trunk, frankly. I was thinking boots, and I'm like, boots in Scotland?
But even if you understand trunk in America, selling stuff out of your trunk is not necessarily a good thing.
Exactly, Rhonda. In America, it's like, oh, we're selling it out of the trunk. Tom's arresting those people. And all they meant was yard sale or garage sale, or we're selling something. As long as we do this as Christians, folks, sometimes you can be so dead wrong when you read a verse, especially when an image is used. That's the reason images take time to think about. And I'm not saying I know all of them. Sometimes I think I got something. Listen, there's an image that Jesus uses that was obviously clear to him. Don't look there. It's Matthew 6, right in the middle of the passage about money, and he starts talking about the eye and if it's dark, and I'm like, I have read that since a child. I've read commentaries, and you know what I know about it? Nothing. I don't get the image. Something about the image just hasn't clicked in my small brain yet. Okay, is that fun? Well, actually, that's what makes things fun, folks. What makes the Christian life fun is there's maybe things that you can learn and enjoy and experience. All right, in your notes, I've already said this also, the Psalms incorporate or use images from human experience in the ancient Near East. And just remember, maybe not your human experience. So we had some fun with winking last week. I hope you had fun with it. Can I ask a question? When Mia does this, and I'm not going to do it, what does that expression mean? What does it mean? No, I'm thinking that isn't it. I don't think she's being mean. I think she feels safe and it's funny. Yeah, exactly. Funny face. Exactly. And it is a funny face when she does it. And she likes to do it, by the way. She loves to do it. All right, let's continue. Let's go to the next page, please. We've already said this in some other ways, but I'll give you this. And I forgive me, I did not do this, and I should have. I meant to do it, and I meant to do it in the Philippines, and I bought back too much stuff and couldn't get it in my luggage. Both of my luggages were overweight. Oh, so I was overweight, the luggage was overweight, everything was overweight. Oh, man. And because I'm not even morning calm anymore, I'm elite. I get to see the beautiful thing in the Philippines. Anytime there's a line a mile long to get to Korean. But since I'm elite, I walk right up to the front, walk right up, and they didn't even check my weight of my baggage. But the problem is I didn't bring any polvoron. And polvoron is absolutely essential for this next point. So someday, somebody's going to have to get me a box, and I'm going to let you try polvoron so you understand what I'm going to illustrate. Let's look in your notes. The poetry and the images, and this is very simple, take time. I have in your notes, and I think this is an obvious thing, but maybe it isn't, because actually, have you ever heard a song and you didn't know what the song was about? Actually, that's kind of the nature of poetry. It's supposed to inform you, but yet at the same time leave you wanting to read it again and again. So I say the beauty of a great song is that you really can't get all the song is saying after a single listening. You know, you can't just listen to it once and say, got it, let's move on. That's like going to the Grand Canyon and say, well, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, never want to go back. I mean, the only guy worse, by the way, than Dada is Pastor Malone. I haven't told you this, Jenny. Pastor Malone called me recently, and then I called him back. We had helped him many times go to Kenya. He was in Kenya, he and his wife. He comes back, and the day he gets back from Kenya, this is as bad as you, Duncan. You just don't live there. There's a demon. Well, anyhow, the day Pastor Malone gets back from Kenya, have you flown a long way? He flies from Kenya, he gets back, a group of guys in his church are going to the Grand Canyon from Phoenix, and they go to the bottom. And they walk out. Folks, this is like 10, 12 hours. He's insane. By the way, why do you do that? Because, folks, you can't just drive your car up to the side and say, got it. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Or, yeah, stay in the car, I'll take a picture. Doesn't work that way either. Let me give you some simple thoughts about this. Psalms take time. They take thought. And in the best way, and this is not my language, though I have no idea who I borrowed it from, I think they also take a sanctified imagination, or you could say good sensibilities. And good sensibilities, when it comes to poetry, takes time. I'm not saying in any way I'm good at this. I think there are people that will be naturally better at reading poetry than me. Psalms take a sanctified imagination. By the way, the imagination, not of a child, but like a child. You don't want to have the same imagination a child has, because a child, you know, can get off into fantasy land. But that big-eyed, you're going to see it in a minute, where you look at things and it's fun, it's interesting. And that's when you really start loving what you have. Lastly, Psalms take, and I've already said this in a different way, imagining. You say, what do you mean by imagining? Actually, look at me, everyone, actually imagining. So when the Bible says something as simple as this, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's not enough to read the verse. Why green pastures? If you grew up on a farm. Every cow we ever had, and some worse than others, you'd turn them loose in a different field that was fenced. You turn them loose in the field, got grass this high. They could eat for a month. They have their head sticking through the fence over to the place where there's no grass. Did you hear the language? He does what? He maketh me. Why would you have to make someone lie down in green pastures? He leadeth me where? But you're not going to get that until you start thinking. The Psalms require something that we don't do well. We read words, but we don't slow down and imagine. They're not here this morning, at least right now. But when Ade, if you haven't seen the pictures, he'll show you. They went to the Jordan River. Now, see, you hear that Jordan River all the time, and Ade sent me pictures. The girl, Leah, wouldn't even go into it. It's just a mud hole. It's a terrible river. That's the reason that whoever the guy is, what's the guy's name? Hey, he says, I don't want to go down. I mean, we got some good rivers up here. We went in this mud hole. I mean, the Jordan River at certain times is nothing but mud. Can you imagine why still waters? Now, by the way, what happens if water gets too still? Tim? Yeah, exactly. Then it gets scummy and all kinds. I mean, it's that still water of the creek that's going just at the right speed. And the rocks are cleaning the water, and it's crystal clear. Oh, yeah. I'm not good at this, but I will say this. This is a whole lot more fun than what most of us do. Now, Pastor Warren's fault, forgive me. What's the difference? Atong, I'm going to ask you, what's the difference between an Oreo double-stuffed cookie and polverone? If you didn't know, and I gave you a double-stuffed cookie, you say, are they good? Yeah, exactly. Too good. What do you do with it? Well, if you're my wife, you take 4 bites of it. If you're me, I take 2 at the same time. How about polverong? You want to take 2 at the same time, Atong? Actually, they have a game in the Philippines with polverong. You know, they pop, see how many you can put in your mouth, and what is it, the first person that can whistle? Polverong, the first time I took it, you know what it is? It's powdered milk, and is it? I'm sure rice has got to be in there, isn't it? No rice? No powdered rice, are you sure? Let me just say this, folks. I brought back polverone a couple. Didn't I do it to your class, Brenna? Most of the kids liked it, didn't they? Once you understand, you take a small bite. But boy, if you take half of that cookie, you're going to spit it out, is what you're going to do. And you're going to wonder, well, are these people retarded that like this thing? The answer is no. It's actually quite nice if you know how to do what? You know what? The Psalms are quite nice if you do that. What we're going to do is we're going to do this. Psalm 19, would you? Tom, if you want to get this thing up ready, my friend, that would be good. None of this is going to be in your notes. You can write down whatever you want or nothing at all. Those are very, very historically, it's just two Latin words, but it's very historical where it comes from. There's a famous painting of Augustus reading the book of Romans. And those two words mean in Latin, more or less in English, take up and read. Psalm 19 gives us three books. And I'm going to give you a way, what I want to do is I want to give you a way of visualizing. And by the way, this isn't about guilt this morning. I'm going to compliment two people in this room, which some of you might see is not complimenting you, of course, because everybody thinks in weird ways. No? There are three books in this passage. You'll see them. And actually, I think I did not understand exactly how they functioned until recently. The first is the book of creation. And the book of creation, I would say, needs to be read every day, all day. So, Tom, are you ready? Should we shut lights off, or do you think we'll be able to see without it? No, I don't want to erase. Let's see how the pictures look. And if not, we can turn a couple lights off. Cliffy, go turn some lights off. Somebody, quick. Back over here. I want you to look at something very specific. And it kind of humbled me a little bit. This is, of course, I don't know who this guy is. That's my middle grandson. That's William. And he finds this tree in the woods. And you can see, if you can't see it all from here, but actually there's a hollow in there, but it's weird because it's not rotten. The tree actually came up and then with two big branches that grew together, and there's a hollow. So go ahead, Tom. So John helps him in the tree. Go ahead. Now he's in the tree. Now what you... Can you see his face? Can I say this to all of you? Some of us haven't experienced that in how long? This is what I have realized after reading this, and I'm going to tell you honestly, there's another guy named Chuck Ells that embarrassed me about something we'll read in a minute. You know what I've realized? We're missing this. We don't spend enough time in God's first book. Actually, some of us spend all of our time getting out of creation. So who in this room spends time in creation? Frenchie? Name me somebody, please. Your wife. Thank you, Frenchie. And who else? Gail. They go doing what? Walking where? Trails. Do you know there's something that we miss? We are too glued to... devices, inside. When I saw that face, I thought, here's what I thought, Tim. That's how I used to be. I could spend, now, oh boy, Tiffany cannot have her children out of her sight. Mothers, don't listen to me, but as a boy on the farm, 280 acres of woods like this, I would be gone from morning till night by myself. Most all days that I could get away. Go ahead, Tom, you got more? Is that the last one, friend? You got a couple?
I was reading
this shirt. Yeah. Oh, and that's looking up inside, Dave. Nathan can fit in there too, but Nathan's too scared. They could literally both be inside because it was, you know, Dave, how the two trees grew up and it kind of then grew together. So there's this huge hollow in the middle. Now, folks, why did I show you that? We're going to read Psalm 19. Do you understand why I showed you that? Some of us really don't understand the Psalms because we don't do the thing the Psalm tells us to do. You know why? But it goes because it's still two trees. It's still two trees. Mike and the trees is in good shape. It's not rotten. It's just two trees. Yes, you can. It's a top. That's John shooting the camera up. Thanks, Tom. You can turn it back off. No, let's read. Can we do something? Can we read Psalm 19? When I saw that, what day was it, Jenny? Was that Thanksgiving or the day after? Thanksgiving. You know what happened to me? I remembered my childhood. And I remembered enjoying God's nature. I didn't know it at the time. And then I realized we spend a lot of time doing what? Come, be honest. We spend a lot of time trying to get out of creation into a house where there's either warmth or air conditioning. Whatever happened to... There's so much. I don't know. Let's read this text. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But if we're never there reading this book, this is not an intellectual exercise, folks. This is an experience, wouldn't you say? You understand? You have to experience it. It's not, you don't do this in your study saying, I'm going to think about creation. No, you go out and experience it. If you come to my house, which I won't let you in my bedroom, but I have a new sound device. Drives my wife crazy. I have a sound device, you know, one of those noisemakers. Sounds just like the jungles of Mexico. Woodpeckers, those noises bugs make, I absolutely love it because it reminds me of my childhood. Wow. Look at me. You have to take this book up and you have to read it, and you don't read it, forgive me, in the Bible. You read it in creation. The Bible informs you things about it. So you actually, I'm going to just recommend this to you. I think part of our growth, I'm not getting back to nature, nothing weird. Let's not be bizarre. I'm just talking about enjoying this world. When's the last time you just went down? We have a lakefront, did you know that? Little lakes, very small, called Lake Michigan. Have you ever been down and just enjoyed it? Well, of course not, Pastor Warren, I'm busy. We're busy? Where? Where are we busy at? In our homes, out of creation. All I can say is, this didn't make me guilty, these pictures. It made me want to recapture that. In our church in St. Louis, we had a creek that you walk out of on one side of the church, and it wasn't too far. It was probably from here to the kitchen. And there was a creek, and I'm telling you, my son and another young guy in our church spent their whole days down there in that creek when we were at church. Why? Because it was out. It was fun. Let's read on. Now, there's a little bit of controversy about these verses, which we don't need to deal with. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Which all that means is, folks, this book of creation, where is it at? Every place you go. Yes, it's nice, Mike. You were out west this year. Jim, I know you guys were all over the west. It's beautiful. I don't know that I want to live out there in the desert, but I sure like to look. But we have it here, too. We have it every place. Yes, and Lois and you and Gail, I think you guys do all the trails around here, too, right? Do you ride bikes or you walk? What do you do about bears up in the mountains? You don't care? Verse 4 is just basically saying creation's every place, no matter where you're at, it's there. Verse 5 continues the analogy of the sun. And again, I don't know that I know all that this analogy means, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. I think it's like, boy, when that sun comes up, it comes out in full strength. I'm assuming something to do with that. Verse 6, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm, is it 37, I think? Not Psalm, Job 37, would you? Job 37. Now, Job, you remember, Job has some friends. So everything his friends say are not true. We all understand that, correct? His friends, well, God himself says, your friends didn't speak the truth about me. Now, this is the younger friend. The Bible, God didn't even bother with him. But much of what he says at the beginning of this is very beautiful. Verse 1 says, at this also my heart trembleth, and it's moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directed under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. And I think he's drawing upon the concept of thunder. And I know one thing. Thunder is different when you're inside a house and when you're outside. A little more scary. Verse 4. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. And that's part of what? Now look. Everything I'm saying this morning won't do you any good staying at home drinking coffee. You and I, at times, need to experience God's actual creation. You don't do that in your house or watching a video on television of creation. You got to smell it. Can you smell a hayloft right now? Mm-hmm. A hayloft. Man, you can just smell it from childhood. Smell it. I can also smell other things we won't mention this morning from childhood. You just have that. Hear me, friend. You have to experience what God has given us. Can I ask a question? And this is not a criticism of anybody or negative. What has caused us to retreat into our houses? Fear? Jim? And there was nothing wrong with it. It was a fun program. It was fine. Mm-hmm. And now it's isolated into a phone. Nothing wrong with the phone. And just smelling and hearing and listening. I remember Pete Vasilovich when he lived at his new house. He had a hoot owl, a little owl nesting right on his house, and I would call him, and I could hear that dumb owl. I think there's something about us. The reason we don't enjoy God is God has given us an entire book, and may I say this kindly, it's bigger than the Bible. It's read by more people than the Bible. It's the first book we ought to read. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, for he saith to the snow, and you're saying, please, Lord, not here, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. And exactly what that means, ESV translates it slightly differently, but he's just saying, it's God that brings snow, it's God that brings rain. He sealeth up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into their dens and remain in their places. You know what people do when you get 22 inches of snow? We go shopping. No. How about this? How about take yourself a cup of coffee or tea or hot chocolate and sit on your porch and you say it's cold? Folks, do you have a blanket? Last year, everybody should remember this. Last year is the first time I've ever seen it in my life. It snowed about this much one night, but the snowflakes were this big around. I got pictures of it on my phone. I walked outside, and there were like sheets falling. I got pictures. You can see the sheets. What were we doing? We do too much of this. And let me say this. You're right. It started with TV. And now it's just we're addicted to stuff, and then I'm starting to realize all of a sudden I see little William, and I'm like, I don't know about you, but I want to recapture some of that. How about you? I don't want to lose the world that God gave us. But I will say this, you have to take it up and you have to read it, which means couch potatoism won't work for any of us. Just won't work. Dave, you know what wood smells like when you use a chainsaw, don't you? Yes, yes. You know when you cut into a rotten tree, don't you? You know how it smells. Yes, unfortunately. But see, here's the thing. People have never even known there is a smell. The smell of wood when you're using a saw. Oh, yeah, I mean, I can smell it right now. I can smell, huh? Oh, boy. We better keep reading here. Verse 9, out of the south cometh the whirlwind and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given. And the breath of the waters is straightened. And straightened there doesn't mean straight like this. It means like this. The ESV and other translations say it freezes or something. It means straightened, but I think they probably didn't have a word for freezing. So, you know, it means the waters, you know, what happens to water like this. So, kind of beautiful. And by watering and also by watering, he wearieth a thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come. This verse, I had never seen this verse. Say, hadn't you read it before? Have you not read things before and never seen a verse? This is nature. Are you listening? Here's your lesson this morning. He, God, causes it to come, whether far what? Or? Otherwise, why does it rain? Why do we have snow? Well, I think we have to have these seasons. Or? What? For mercy? Chesed, loving kindness, mercy? Hearken unto this, O Job. Now, please look at me. Elihu then takes this and goes off in the wrong place. But the point is, this is creation. Well, we'll move on to the second book. Look back at Psalm 19. I should have started this a little bit earlier. I got a little carried away. Psalm 19, we have the second book. By the way, can I ask you a question? Do you want to have, I'm asking you a question. Do you want to have the look of William, or do you want to have most of the time our look in life, which is quite bored, quite tired? It seems like Americans' favorite phrase is, I'm tired. I think some of that is, we don't get out enough. I like to go walking. Part of it is, I need it. Part of it is, it's interesting. What do you see at night? Were you with me, Jenny? We almost hit that coyote. I mean, we came this close to hitting a coyote right over by us. You see coyotes at night. You see fox. You know what a fox looks like when it runs? You always know because it looks like it's running sideways or something. There's some friends that I would wish somebody would pick up, Dave. You could get rid of all the skunks in this county if you would. Man. Well, the second book, and we're not going to finish. We'll pick up here next week. Is the book called The Canon of Scripture. I'm using three C's just to keep remembering. But if I can say this, I think what the psalmist is saying, that what is the biggest book and the one that needs to be read the most? Because that's the one that every single person, every single day, including even in this room, what are you doing right now? You're breathing whose air? Yeah, I think this is very, very, very important. And I think this needs to be read daily. We'll pick up here next week. There's lastly the book of conscience, and we'll just pick up with this concept. The book of conscience. And this will be our conversation next week as we continue this. The book of conscience, I think it's the hardest book to read. And I'm going to say this to everybody. I believe the book of conscience is best read, not daily. Let me ask you a question. What do you call a person that is always thinking about how they feel and if they're healthy? Yeah, do you like to be around people that are always, I think I got a headache, and my back aches, my tooth aches, my foot. They drive everybody crazy because they're something, what's the term, neurotic. Hear me. The conscience needs to be read also. I'll pick up here next week. I'll end with this. But the conscience should be read together with this book and with this book, it should not be read in isolation. Because if you read the conscience too much in isolation, now, if you're a person that doesn't know yourself, you'll never have this issue. If you're sensitive, meaning you're a sensitive person, you'll drive yourself where? Into despair. So don't read your conscience separate from the Scripture. Because the Scripture sometimes whacks you on the bottom, but it also many times gives you a hug. Do you understand? If you just try to, you're always thinking about, did I sin 27 years ago? Well, the answer is probably yes. But does God forgive? See, there's where Scripture comes in. The answer is, so read it in conjunction. We'll talk about that next week. Thank you. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. And Mike, I did not get in the, try to get inside. Speaking of him, it-